Hey, welcome, guys. I'm so glad you joined me for this spontaneous call we put together. So many of you responded. It's really great to have our tribe gathering already on a nice Friday. It's gorgeous here in Colorado. And just of interest, we have people from all over the world. We have Sandy from India and Ona from Romania and folks from Germany, Caroline and Maria from London, someone from Hong Kong and Australia, and also even somebody from Little Rock, Arkansas in the U.S. So folks have come from all over the world. We have a global event today, and I'm really excited to just tell you a little bit about what we're coming up against in our program, Mastering Attachment, which is going to start next Wednesday. And we're basically looking at attachment theory. And a lot of you may have read about it or had it in graduate school or, you know, which is all great. What I'm really trying to focus on, though, is giving you a really good overview of what the different attachment styles are, of course, starting out with, you know, what is secure attachment, because it's a lot more than having a roof over your head and three square meals a day. So a lot more about how we connect with each other. And Dan Siegel, I love listening to him because one of the things he said at a conference 2 years ago when I was in the audience, he said to me that one of the really the forefront for humanity right now is really learning how to authentically connect to ourselves and really show up and really present in our connection with other people. He said, you know, we've done pretty good with understanding cognition and learning about meaning and emotions and even body sensation, which is a little bit newer. We're going to use somatic strategies a lot, but even awareness of awareness in spiritual practices. But he really feels the frontier for our cutting edge in humanity, actually, for all of us, is really how to learn how to connect. Let me think about it. Work is so much easier than love, isn't it? Most of our problems come up in our deep relationships. So we're going to try to give people a lot of information about how to really find their way through their own history, what happened in our own parent-child dynamics when we were little ones, and where, you know, some of our own, you know, maybe sore spots show up with our clients or where we might react to somebody else's attachment style when we're in session with them, trying to create a safe haven for all of us to dive deep and explore our own situation. David Wallens, one of my favorite attachment experts, and he wrote, by the way, Attachment and Psychotherapy. It's a great book. I recommend it. But one of the things he says is there's research that says that most people that choose therapy as a field, or he says we're kind of chosen by therapy to go into it, we often have some unresolved piece of disorganized attachment or attachment disruption in our own history. So good for us to learn about it on our personal journey, but really helpful to understand how to use this great information that started way back with, well, John Bowlby was a major player in terms of understanding that secure attachment is really our innate biological design, that we have that wired in, we're hardwired to heal, and really what our therapy work with ourselves and our clients is about is kind of uncovering that inherent blueprint for health. So sometimes we have a lot of stuff dumped on top of it because maybe our parents didn't have such great parenting, and that easily gets passed down through the generations. Maybe they have unresolved trauma because, you know, you go back a generation, a lot of our parents never had the opportunity to do growth experiences or have good therapists. I mean, you kind of had to be in a psych ward to get any treatment, and often it was drugs or electroshock therapy. Way back when. So we're much luckier that we have so many wisdoms we can draw on these days to try to help ourselves heal our history. And I think when we heal our history and help our clients heal their history, we're really helping them stop any generational transmission going down into their working with their own kids. And also, I think it helps us upline with our parents as well. So we're kind of on a big journey together, and I think a really relevant one for the world to. The other piece of this is so many of us, as beneficial as technology is, which it is great. It's why we're talking today. I love technology. It connects us. But also to understand the neuroscience and understanding Stephen Porges' work on polyvagal theory, how face-to-face contact is also really helpful for us. So we're going to try to create a safe community together online where we can hash around some ideas, do case consults, answer questions. We'll have a private Facebook group where we can gather as a community and connect. And we also, as you know from this week, we added a three-day live event that we're putting together here in Boulder, Colorado, in early April. And we're excited about that. And for those of you that might be far away, like India, Australia, Germany, London, all of that, and it's too far, we're also including an edited video of the live event we did this last year in July called the Dare to Connect event. So you'll have one online as well. So everybody can be included that way. So I just want to emphasize that in really studying the theory on the attachment adaptations, when we, you know, based on our early caregiving, and of course, sometimes it's not mom and dad, sometimes there are medical procedures that get in the way that are necessary to even save an infant's life, and sometimes unnecessary, because I think some medical practices get in the way just by standard procedure, but that can also interfere with our attaching and bonding with mom or any mothering presence, which could be grandma or, you know, a stepmom or a dad, of course. I know all those are really important folks as well. So we're going to take a good look into what happens between parents and children that sets up a pattern that gets internalized by the child. What does avoidant attachment mean? How do we help a person that's suffered a lot of neglect kind of show up and come back into contact? And one of the things that we really want to highlight are the corrective experiences that I've been designing, and I'd love to hear more ideas from you too, on really looking at the core wound of each attachment style, whether it's avoidant, ambivalent, or disorganized, and what gets to the core of that wound, and how can we more precisely and specifically address that core wound and help a person heal. And that's what I've kind of put together, is I have two or three corrective experiences for each call for you to start practicing. And then it's cool because we put a quick start tip handout that will give you the specifics of how you might start exploring it in your practice, or practicing with your relationship partner or your kids or your friends, until you feel, you know, ready to really move it into your practice with your clients. But most of these, I'd really say all of them, are pretty user-friendly right from the beginning. And if you really understand what the main glitch is or the main pain points are for a particular attachment style, then it becomes obvious in terms of how you might meet the unmet need or create a condition where the secure attachment starts to get nourished. You know, if you don't take anything else away from this, even today, it's call, what I'd really like to stress is so many of us have been trained as psychotherapists or, you know, whatever branch we're in, coaches or whatever, that we focus so much on the wound that someone's dealing with, really trying to help them get in touch with the pain, get in touch with the emotions, and all of that's fine and good. But in this work, we're spending at least as much time, if not more, on really nourishing the secure attachment system, because we want that to get so strong and resourced that eventually it actually takes over, it dominates over the wound, and the wound actually has the support of the secure attachment system to heal. So we're trying to bring all the attachment disruptions back over the bridge, so to speak, to secure attachment. And what's great is the research supports that we can, in fact, Dan Siegel would say, earn our secure attachment later in life, like through therapy or maybe having a really great relationship partner or a really great friend that is our go-to person, that creates a certain relational field that helps our secure attachment trust again and try again for connection, and is met with health enough that it starts to reassert its basic blueprint. And we're, you know, leaning on neuroscience for that. Rick Hansen has written some great books on how we have to hold a client in a positive, sort of amplified positive moment, which is partly what the corrective experiences are, long enough that it actually starts to challenge the neural networks from the old wound pattern and starts to shift into actually changing the brain so it can accommodate the positive experience. And that actually is what really shifts us into being able to help our clients actually change. And something that sticks, I had a client yesterday, really lovely woman from the United States, and we did a Skype call, and she said, you know, I've done so much work, but it just tends to, as soon as I'm challenged again, it doesn't stick. And she said, what I notice when I work with you is that this stuff really sticks. So one of my goals is that we come up with clinical interventions, and we're including people's emotional awareness, their physiology, their understanding of the nervous system and neuroscience, as well as what's happening in the relational field between you as the therapist and your client as the person who's experiencing the work, and what's even happening in the relational field between the two of you. So we're tracking our own experience, the client's experience, and what's happening in between. And that's really what attachment theory is all about. What I'm trying to do, and I think it's a little different than it's been available before, is really how do we actualize this great research and great information? It gives us an incredible map back to creating healthy relationship. And, you know, being rich in relationships makes life the most fun, I think. So I wanted to just briefly go over a little bit about the course, and then I want to make sure I'm addressing your concerns and answering any questions so that, and I can also teach or answer questions and give you a little more information when I know what's on your mind. So all you have to do is, when we get to that part, is press *2, and on our computer, that'll raise your hand basically, and then we can, you know, say, okay, now Karen, I'd like you to respond, or we're answering your question, so you know to answer, and not everybody's talking at once, of course. So let's take a little bit of a moment to go over everything that's included in your course. First of all, we are going to have the live interactive classes. They're all 90 minutes long. There's 6 of them. 4 of them are on the different attachment styles, secure. Really looking at how we as therapists can learn to present secure attachment, what that means in a session, how you create therapeutic safety much more quickly by using this incredible knowledge that comes to us from attachment, how you use your voice, how you use safe touch if that's appropriate, like could even just be a handshake when the client comes in the door, could even be making really contactful, kind eyes, eye contact when somebody enters the room. How you greet your clients is really important, how they end the session and how they shift in any of these transition moments are really important. And it communicates sort of a environment of safety much more quickly than if we're not using that information. In fact, you know, that I learned this from Patty. Oh, what's her last name? Wood, I think it is. But she wrote a book called SNAP, S-N-A-P, SNAP. And it's kind of cool because she said, if you're regulated in your own body, you're present and grounded in your own body, and you shake someone's hand, it communicates to the neurochemistry between your hand and the other person's hand. It's actually extremely regulating. And in that moment, maybe it's, I don't know, how long does a handshake last? I don't know, a couple seconds, I guess. You're actually transferring your regulated state to somebody else's. Now, we all know what it's like when you sometimes, you know, shake somebody's hands and it's sweaty and cold or clammy. That's not communicating regulation. That's probably communicating fear. So just to know that touch is a powerful amplifier. And they say in the research, it is actually Patty Wood under the book SNAP. They say in her research that it takes you 3 hours of really attuned, resonant, empathetic conversation to regulate somebody as much as it would just by giving them a handshake. So, you know, I use that when I teach. I go around the room as people are coming in. I'm always there early, and I give them a great handshake, and I'll look in the eye and a smile, and I'm just waking up their social engagement system and getting ourselves in a comfortable place. And me too. I'm actually calming myself down if I'm going to be doing public speaking, because I'm getting regulated. I'm realizing that I'm getting regulated as I shake their hand and make contact. It calms my social engagement system down and also helps them move into that space too. And so that's an easy way to use this information. It's so usable because we are social beings. So everything in this course is really relevant to living with other humans, whether it's in the context of therapy or our intimate partnerships, our friends, our kids, our families, our dog, everything is relevant here. So we'll have those six calls, secure attachment, avoidant attachment, would really help our avoidant clients come out of that bubble of isolation that usually occurred to them, they got into withdrawal because of either neglect or rejection or only getting contacted with their family through tasking, overworking, or overwork focus, too much focus on work. Ambivalent attachment is really helping those clients learn how to receive caring and actually take it in a way that they can soak it up like a sponge and feel more satisfied. Disorganized attachment for most of us is the most challenging. We'll spend quite a bit of time on that. And really looking at how to untangle the threat response from having had either frightening parents or parents that have unresolved trauma that are still frightened themselves, because we can't really bond to fear, or if there's anger, we can't bond to fear and anger. So like helping untangle our threat response related to a scary parent or a scared parent. And then also we have the instinct to connect and the instinct to protect ourselves if the threat response gets triggered because of the fear in the relationship, which then will show up later in our adult relationships. We'll get to a certain level of intimacy and all of a sudden, boom, we're into a strong reaction, which we don't even know where it comes from. So what I love about this work, as you can tell, I'm very passionate about it. What I love about it is it just takes the guesswork and the confusion for our clients and ourselves out of relationship dynamics in a really, really basic and major way. And we can communicate it to our clients in a way that it's simple for them, that they can also explain it to their partners. And we provide attachment questionnaires. Now, these aren't like to be used for diagnosis. I don't use them for like getting people stuck on a label, but just so that people get an idea where the most useful, you know, point of exploration would be for them to start their journey into understanding what might have happened in their history that might be importing into their adult relationships in a way that's less than desirable. So you even have a free questionnaire on my website, dianepoolheller.com, that anybody's welcome to use anytime, and it's open 24/7. So if your clients want to take that test, it'll give them a little bit of feedback and just at least get them having the idea about what are you talking about with attachment theory and why is it relevant. So you have that, but we have a much more, actually probably three or four times as long of a questionnaire, maybe even longer, that we give you on the course that's a little bit more in depth. So you can use it. I like using it as like gives me topics for sessions also. Certain issues will show up in the questionnaire, and if they share their answers with you, then you know where you're going to make the most difference in terms of a focus that they might not bring up otherwise. So that's kind of handy. We have demos. I put a lot of demos in the course so you can actually see me working with clients with the different attachment styles. And I really like that part. Gosh, the way I learned how to do trauma work was sitting and watching hours and hours of Peter Levine doing sessions with people who had all different sorts of trauma. So for me, that's one of the ways I really learn. So I wanted to make that a big part of the course, too, in case others of you find that useful, too. And we also have transcripts and audio versions of everything. So if you want to, you can listen in your car or, you know, when you're walking your dog in the morning or whatever. And the transcripts, what I want you to make sure you know is I also put teaching points and comments in the transcripts beyond just the demo being, you know, transcribed for you. So I try to make it my mind and what I'm trying to do as transparent as possible in terms of working with psychology, physiology, neuroscience, whatever I'm picking up, and certainly how to language to each attachment style. Because it's just like if many of you are in from global play all over the globe, so many of you have this incredible talent of speaking several languages. I think I speak a couple. I speak attachment, I speak somatic experiencing, and I speak English. So those are my three. But you kind of need an attachment theory to understand the language of avoidant, the language of ambivalent, and the language of disorganized, and be able to move through them, just like some of you can move through German, Italian, French, maybe Chinese, whatever. That's really helpful because people are a mix of attachment styles. And even in one session, people can be switching their focus between, you know, they're presenting a particularly avoidant attachment issue. And then because they've got, you know, have different relational influences when they're younger, they may have a different relationship with their stepfather or their grandparent or their mother. And so whoever the major players are going to have an influence on their internalized attachment system. So you kind of need to know if they start speaking Italian, you want to respond in Italian. If they start speaking Japanese, you want to respond in Japanese. If they start, you know, speaking Indian, you want to be able to come back in that language. And once you know the attachment styles in sort of a fluent way, which is my goal during the course, is you'll be able to make shift just as easily as if you speak several different languages. And, you know, we are giving you also, to help you along with this, I wrote a little mini booklet on languaging. I wrote different examples of how you might speak and do interventions from the perspective of an avoidant client, ambivalent or disorganized. So I'm trying to make this as super simple as possible. And of course, if you can't schedule an appointment, we record everything. And within an hour or two from the actual call, we have it posted on the membership site. And it's there for at least a year. We've had attachment course information up now for 3 years, but it will be a minimum of a year. And of course, we have it worked out so that it's available to you to download onto your own computer, and then you can have it forever. So just know that, you know, if your schedule gets busy or something, we're really trying to create the course for everybody's realistic life and make it as easy as possible for you to take in the information as it's as it makes sense to you. We have the teaching demos that are the teaching classes. We have the demos that I mentioned. We also have the teaching material course on more information on each attachment style and how to work with them and the different specific corrective experiences that I've designed that really address each particular attachment style's need to heal. That's all in your membership site as well. You get access to it right away when you sign up. And we do give you it in pieces so you don't overwhelm yourself. Each time we do a call, you'll have it before that call, and you can study it ahead. And there's probably 2-3 hours of information, but it's cut into 10, 15, 20-minute segments. So, you know, if you've got 15 minutes between a client, it's easy to, you know, take a look at it. And we have it in video, audio, so you can download it when you walk the dog, and also in transcript. So however your learning style is, we're sort of trying to make sure that works. Let's see, we have a Facebook group that is just for our people that have signed up, and then we can interact with each other. You can post case consult questions or any of your personal questions. And, you know, we're just there as a community gathering all of your wisdom. And I'm happy to participate thoroughly as well in responding to any questions that you might post on Facebook. Let's see if there's anything else I wanted to make sure you knew about. Oh, you know what? The other cool thing is we have quite a few expert interviews with other people that have a really interesting perspective to add in. And we have Dr. David Wallen. He's working with, you know, kind of looking at our own wounds that we now are bringing in as tools to work with our clients, and his understanding of how to work in the relational field with clients. He's really great. He wrote the book, like I said, I think before, Attachment and Psychotherapy. I highly recommend you reading that book. It's really good. And while I'm recommending books, I highly recommend Dan Siegel's book on the developing mind. Both of these books will be excellent preparation to read as we go through the course. And then we also have John Chitty. He's going to be sharing a deep understanding, but a kind of a user-friendly understanding of Stephen Porges' fantastic work on the polyvagal theory, also known as the social engagement system, and talking about the new brain, like how we work with this on a neuroscience perspective. What's so great about Stephen Porges' work, and I just talked to him yesterday, he's one of my favorite people. He really is one of these guys that walks his talks. He's a very authentic, connected, socially engaged guy, and his wife is too. She studies oxytocin, so she's studying the bonding hormones. So they're a great pair. But he's done wonderful research that really supports all of us that are trying to work with somatic strategies to include the intelligence of the body as well as our other channels of wisdom, our emotional selves, our cognitive selves. And what I love about Stephen's work, it really is kind of the research that supports what we're doing, and as for many trauma resolution therapies too, is he really helps us understand the relationship between the threat response when we go into a trauma reaction and so the social engagement system. And to the degree that we're in threat, we often lose, in fact, physiologically we're designed to get disconnected from the social part of us. So by definition, unresolved trauma disconnects us. And when you add understanding attachment theory to also resolving trauma, people just recover and they learn to connect again. They come out of their isolation and withdrawal and they show up for themselves and for their loved ones. And of course, we all like to be alone sometimes too. That's fine. We're working out CEs. We have 22 continuing education credits for those of you in the U.S. That's relevant for 2015. We have Stan Tatkin as another expert on, he does this great PACT work on couples counseling that involves navigating regulation in the nervous system, which we also do in our course, and just a really unique perspective on couples counseling. So we're excited to have him along too, and he'll have his call on how to work with couples, because that's an art in itself. I'd say, you know, in my opinion, we don't just do individual therapy and do an add-on of couples therapy and think of it as like two individuals in a session. It's much more complicated than that. So we want to make sure we have sort of extra training and specialized training for couples work, in my opinion. And then we have Maggie Phillips, who works a lot with ego state work. And we also are going to be teaching you a bit about working with the encapsulated child. Basically means that we go back into younger times when people get stuck or overwhelmed. Could be trauma, could be a developmental task that wasn't supported. Certainly could be an attachment failure, just having too much disappointment or too much neglect or too much fear while you're trying to learn how to interactively regulate with a parent, that kind of thing. And we're going back into those times and meeting the need, not just excavating the wound, but meeting the need. I'm going to try to help you really understand what I mean by designing corrective experiences. I have some standard ones that work really well. They're tried and true. But things will evolve in a session and come up organically where you need to be thinking, all right, this is the wound. How do I counter that with something that works for that person related to that wound? So we're going to spend a lot of time on that. And I have to tell you, I've been doing this a long time. My gosh, really long. I started in 1987, so I'm kind of a dinosaur. But it really, really helps your clients reduce suffering, which we all want to do, and also helps us, help them come back to feeling better and taking more, exploring in their lives more curiously and openly and more present in their bodies much quicker. So that's my hope, too, is that we just in general, share our wisdom and learn ways to reduce suffering. So I'd like to, shift focus. There's more I have to say, but I can get back to it. I would really like to shift focus and answer some questions. So there's somebody that you just hit star to raise your hand. And I see Maureen from Vancouver has her hand up. So Maureen from Vancouver, I'd love to hear from you. How can I help you today? Hello, Maureen.
Hi. I didn't actually have a question. I was just testing the button. I wasn't sure what.
Oh,
it was.
Well, you're testing the button. Well, while I've got you, do you have a comment or a question?
I came in late to the conference, so
okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Do you want me to respond to anything, or you want to just go back and untest the button?
Oh, so I just hit the button again? Is that what I?
Yeah, to unmute. What does she do to unmute? Don't worry about it. Never mind. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
So Mitchell from New York, are you there?
I am. Actually Miami, but
Miami.
Yes,
okay. I was told New York. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Actually, I am from New York originally, so it probably shows
up. See, we're
up,
psychic. Hey, that's pretty good.
That's amazing. I have a few questions for you, if I may.
Great.
The first question is, are you familiar with EMDR, and to what extent is any of that incorporated in?
I took the EMDR training, so I know the basics, just the basic training. And we aren't really focusing on bilateral stimulation, although I think that has a good place in trauma resolution. We're working with somatic strategies by tracking the physiology and understanding how there are physiological sequences that move us out of threat, the shutdown of depression or disconnection, but also help us reduce threat and then the natural sequence physiologically that takes us towards reconnection and social engagement. So we're relying a little bit more on Stephen Porges's work, which I think is brilliant. So I think you'll love it if you decide that it's interesting to you.
Yes, actually, I'm very familiar with it.
Good.
I listened to your entire seminar series, not seminar, but interview series that you did.
The Summit?
2.0, Psychotherapy 2.0, I think it was.
Oh, great. I'm so glad you did that. That's so cool that you listened to the whole thing. Wow.
Diane, it was amazing, and I was traveling, and I made a point of finding the 2+ hours every day to listen to your incredible interviews, your incredible guests,
Aww.
And your own interview. Truly remarkable work. Thank you so much for
You are making
that.
My day. I'm just beaming over here. Thank you. I'm so happy. We got so much great feedback. We're going to do it again. We just had such a good time and everybody loved it. So I'm up for it. We're going to do it again next September. But that's cool. So that's so cool that you made special time for that. I really appreciate that. That's great.
Well, thank you. So your last response leads into my next question, which is, could you just help us? I think this might be helpful for others as well.
Sure.
So could you help us to understand what the distinctions are between this program and certification versus
uh-huh.
the DAR certification program? I'm sure
DARE,
I think the
right.
one is much oh DARE, sorry, is
DARE.
Broader.
That's okay.
So,
that's okay.
Could you just help us understand, you know, the distinction and, you know, is it is this a part of that or is this
There's
totally-
a connection for sure. So I'm so glad you asked that question. That's an excellent question. This level, attachment mastery, is very similar to DARE 1, which is healing early attachment wounds, embracing the authentic self. And it's a live training that's 4 days long. And then we're adding quite a bit to that. So some of the filming is actually coming from DARE 1 trainings that'll be in your membership site. But we're adding the expert interviews and we're adding an additional live event that's going to take it even further in this course. So it's kind of like, I guess you'd say DARE 1 2.0. I don't know what you would call it, but it's like extra. But if you take the online course and you decide you'd want even more time to do live work, because there's, you know, live work is great, right? And then you get, you know, a lot of breakout time with working with other therapists and kind of role playing and all of that. Then that when you take the live trainings, you can become certified. You need to take all 4 trainings, DARE 1, 2, 3, and 4. The second one is on how early attachment patterns infiltrate into our adult relationships, which they do. They say 90% of what's going on in our adult relationships has nothing to do with our partners. It has a lot to do with our attachment history. Yikes. So if even half of that's true, it's relevant to learn. And then the DARE 3 is
–
Yes?
Sorry, I was just going to ask you, is there a study you can cite for that statistic?
I couldn't hear the question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. You mentioned 90% coming from our childhood experiences, which I totally agree at a high level. But I'm just wondering, is there a study, a citation you have?
You know, I got that percentage. I think it was from Alan Shore, and we probably have to Google it to find the exact study. But I remember being impressed by that. And then I think Dan Siegel said something. One of them said 90%. One of them said 95%. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, this is big, you know. And even if it's only half, I mean. It's big for us to understand our adult relationships, and gosh, aren't
Absolutely.
Those the tricky parts, you know?
Yeah.
But you need to do the DARE 1, 2, 3, 4 live to do the certification. And what we do if you've done the online is we give you 50% off if you attend the same level that you did online live in any of the regional areas that we do the DARE 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. And then the quick question to follow up on that is, how long does it take to get through DARE 1, 2, 3, 4? Like, I live in Miami, for instance, so I have to travel somewhere to do that. Is that correct?
Yes. There are 4 4-day trainings, so those are 16 days. In Europe, by the way, we have them in Germany. They're 5 days because we're translating, so we're saying everything twice, so we do it a little bit longer. But in in the United States, they're 4 days and they're in one language, in English. And you can, depending on your schedule, you can look at what we have available. You can take them, you know, you can go to New York for one and LA for another and North Carolina for another, whatever's available. And you can kind of work out your own pacing. But generally, it takes about a year and a half to 2 years, depending on the schedule. Yeah. Because you want a little time in between to practice, you know, and integrate.
Yeah. Does that include somatic experiencing, or is that separate?
Somatic experiencing is a different training, but it's kind of a marriage made in heaven between the DARE work and we're calling it attachment mastery online, same thing. It's kind of a marriage made in heaven because SE is a great model. It's my favorite. I'm very biased. I totally admit it. I love SE. I've been teaching it for over 25 years, so I'm big on SE. And I'm good friends with Peter, of course. We connect all the time. But it's really good for trauma resolution, and they focus a lot on self-regulation. But trauma isolates us and disconnects us. A short definition of trauma can be overwhelming helplessness, but it can also be broken connections, which was James Lifton's definition of trauma. And attachment theory, if you understand how to work with attachment theory, you can just bring people back from the isolation and withdrawal and disconnection that they experience from having gone through a trauma so much more quickly. And you're really working with interactive regulation, which is developmentally comes first between mom and infant and family and infant before we learn to self-regulate. So you're kind of going into the basement to do the foundation. So it's really great. Really great. So great questions. Thank you. Michael from UK. Hey, Michael, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Michael.
I just pressed the button testing it.
Oh, you're just testing the button. Well, did you have a question while I got you, or do you want to wait?
Not at the moment.
Okay, well, I just would take this moment to welcome you. Thank you, Michael. And it's fine to test your button. It works. Okay, and by the way, we are doing the calls this time at 11 a.m., so it's very internationally friendly time zone. So I think in London that'd be like 6 o'clock or something. So that'd be really cool if you could join us.
Okay.
Okay, Michael, have a great day, and I'll just go on to the next person that has their hand up. Who is it? Someone from Denver. What's the name? Lazuric? Can I see?
Oh, I'm really from Mexico City. I have a Denver.
You're from Mexico
line,
City?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello. Hello. I want to ask you, how long do the expert interviews material last? I mean, you have...
They're usually 90 minutes at least, and sometimes we go over a little bit because we're excited, and they might dip into, like, a little longer than 90 minutes, but generally 90 minutes.
90 minutes, and it's about 5 interviews?
The expert interviews? There's about 4 or 5, yes.
4 interviews, okay.
There's David Wallen, Robert Scher, John Chitty, Stan Tacken, and Maggie Phillips. So you're right, there's 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Now, in your own teaching, how much is actual teaching and how much is questions?
Well, I'm kind of big on teaching, so we do probably we do 90-minute calls, and I'd say we're doing an hour to an hour and 15 minutes of teaching, but depending – and if there's questions and people are really engaged, I'll even go longer.
Okay. And the Summit 2.0, is there any way for one to get access to the recordings somehow?
I need to ask them. I think you can. It's just a little bit more expensive now, but I will find out. If you can email me at help@dianepoolheller.com, so I have your information, then I can get back to you on that.
Okay, very good. And their trainings, are they available also for coaches or just for...
Oh, yes. We have quite a few coaches and even people that are now bringing this work into corporations from a leadership perspective.
Okay.
We really like people that have an experience of working with other people, which certainly coaches are doing, right? Okay. But predominantly, we're going to be looking at how do you do interventions. But I think coaches are doing that too. But I'm speaking primarily from a psychotherapeutic point of view. But all the coaches have loved it. I've had lots of great feedback from the coaches on the call.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Diane.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really enjoy them so much. Thank you.
Oh, and don't forget to write me so I can get back to you on that psychotherapy 2.0.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Oh, remember to press star 2 to raise your hand so I can get your question. I'm going to keep repeating that for those that are just coming on the call. Show me. So, Zufa from Dover, New Jersey. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right.
No. I'm actually on my work phone, so that's the Health Center, and my name is Kathy.
Kathy.
How are you? I've been listening to a lot of the tapes online and the people that you've mentioned, and I've been in public health for over 40 years, but I'm not a counselor. I've done a lot of training and spiritual guidance work.
Oh, good.
So I'm kind of lending it more to that than to having a practice and seeing patients and all of that.
That's fine.
I'm curious to know how much linkages you make with the issues in attachment with personality types. How certain types of wounding then leads into like narcissistic behaviors and borderline personalities. Do you create that?
We certainly can respond to that. The extreme of ambivalent attachment, for instance, would go into borderline. The extremes of disorganized attachment often go to schizoid and, other personality disorders. You get most of the personality disorders coming out of disorganized attachment because there's so much trauma there. But there's a specific type of trauma with avoidant, and I guess you could also say the extreme of avoidant might take you towards a schizoid tendency, but as well. So, that's a really relevant because attachment very often is sort of in the basement, the foundational piece that then gets extrapolated into more and more difficult problems as people are kind of off. They get more off and So I think that's really relevant. And just remember, like we're answering questions today, we can do that on the live calls. We also have Facebook, so you can write in particular questions and I can address if I don't cover something, because it's an hour and a half, there's so much to cover. If I don't cover something that you're interested in, you can just always write me on Facebook and we can address it there.
I have one other question, which is also very, I think, far-stretching. But,
that's okay.
A lot of folks are using spiritual teachings to as a means to heal personality issues, anxiety, depression. And when you started in the beginning, when you said, "Oh, there's an amplified moment." I mean, I personally have been involved with Buddhist rituals, which amplify the moment, but then the bridge isn't necessarily created.
That bridge is pretty important, isn't it? Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I've been listening to Bruce Tift and John Wellwood, so I'm getting...
Oh, yeah, good folks.
That's helping me create the bridge. Yeah, right, exactly.
Right,
so,
right.
I don't know if you talk about spiritual practices in relationship to healing from these attachment disorders.
Well, I think we're coming back into presence and being and attachment disruptions, or I like to call them adaptations, because we're adapting away from secure attachment because of our original environment or medical history. But what it's doing, I'm kind of using trauma resolution techniques and somatic strategies and attachment theory in a way as a vehicle to come, the Trojan horse, so to speak, for us to really do spiritual work and to come back to our authentic selves and our, anything that's blocking being. So it's by definition spiritual work, in my opinion.
Right. I'm just looking at the integration. I think David Wallen seems to be doing a good job of that. Yeah.
He's
okay,
fabulous.
Great.
Yeah, he's one of our interview guys, for sure. He's one of my favorite guys. And, we can talk about that. And if we don't get into it as deeply as we can during a call, again, we can easily go into that on Facebook as well.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. So you're doing a great job. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Kathy.
Yeah, thank you.
Michael from Santa Rosa. Are you there?
It's actually Angela.
Oh, Angela.
My husband.
Oh, that's okay. I'm seeing that. He's what's showing up on my thing. So, Angela, hello.
Hello. Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Cool.
I have one real quick question and then a longer question.
Sure.
The quick question, thank you, is there going to be a taping of this call or transcript of this call?
Yes, we're not transcribing it, but we're definitely recording it as we speak. You are being recorded, and it will be replayed. We'll send out a link to everybody, and you can access it again.
Wonderful.
In the next hour. It takes us about an hour to organize the link, and then you'll have it for how long? We can have it up for a couple of days.
Great.
Probably through the weekend.
And then my main question is about internal family systems.
Oh, I love that work.
Oh, wonderful.
Dick Schwartz.
It has so transformed my life, and I've had a lot of entrenched difficulty
with
these
days. It's fabulous work. I love what he's doing. And I know that work. I mean, I didn't take the training, but I know that work from hanging out with Dick so much at conferences, and you know, I've had my own work with him. It's wonderful
and
work. It works a lot with the different selves, right, that get stuck at different times in our life due to overwhelm or fear or unmet needs or whatever, and helps integrate all those intrapsychic states. We add, from our perspective, just to give you a little differentiation, also external resources. So Dick and I have been having these conversations about he tends to prefer to work just intrapsychically, which I do also, but we also add external resources. And you'll see in the expert interview with Maggie Phillips, she and I discussing that, how to work with those early ego states. She calls it ego states. I call it encapsulated child, and Dick has, you know, a different way to reference it. But it's great work, and they're very interrelated. I love that work. I'm so cool. That's so cool you've been doing that.
Oh, I can't believe how much it's helped me in my work. And I just wanted to ask, because Bessel van der Kolk said he felt it was IFS was one of the most helpful therapies for working with developmental trauma.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, in terms of that developmental trauma piece, there's not that much.
It's okay.
Out there.
I know, it's true. It's a real lack.
Yeah, and I know SE you're speaking about is really helpful for the regulation, but that attachment piece of the developmental relational issues that and the broken attachments, I'm excited that your program is addressing that. And I'm also kind of curious about how you would speak to the developmental trauma piece.
Well, we're doing a really big focus on attachment, and that's sort of the subflooring, that's the foundation that then can go on into developmental problems. But then, you know, different things happen as we grow older and are sort of age and stage related. I'm actually doing a course right now for another online course called Therapy Mastermind Circle, where we're going into developmental trauma and the character structure. So we have a little bit we can touch on with the attachment. The attachment's a really big piece. That I think we all need to know. Actually, it was better to know kind of prior. And then if you want to even go further, there's other opportunities that I provide online as well. But they're both really, really important focuses. The attachment piece just has so much to do with what we start to form unconsciously as our relational template. And then we bring that into our adult relationships and, you know, even as therapists, how we react to our clients and all of that. So it's a really, really important kind of foundational piece on understanding how to help ourselves heal.
That sounds wonderful. And I think I'm just still wondering, like, what the difference is between, like, Dick Schwartz's work and the incredible things he's come up with and how you guys – I guess I'll find out in the work and then with the interview with the Maggie. But have a lot of curiosity if his brilliance has also been – incorporated into some of your work.
Yeah, and it'll be expanded too. We'll be adding additional tools because I do a lot with a correction. He does it in a slightly different way, but we're kind of in the same, we're kind of cousins, we're in the same genre, and we just have come in from a slightly different windows, but we use each other's windows, and I think you'll find that it expands your awareness of that particular focus as well.
Great. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks, Angela. Thanks for calling in. How about Robert from North Creek, New York? Is it Robert or is it somebody else?
Oh, it's Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Hi, Diane. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you today?
Oh, well, it's just so nice to hear your voice, and I just want to thank you for all your wonderful teachings and how much I'm enjoying it and how much I'm working with the patients that I see. I'm, you know, in rural New York in the Adirondacks, and there's so many generational traumas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that seem to really affect this population that I'm working with, and I'm finding the work really, really helpful. And I've done DARE 1, 2, 3, and 4. So,
oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm working on my certification.
Oh, God, I'm so happy.
Yeah, and doing the therapy mastermind to sort of reinforce everything that I learned in those four, you know, classes with Pat. You know, I did three with Patty and one with you in Connecticut. And,
that's right.
You know, totally worth it, of course. And it does bring the therapy into such a deeper level. Without it being, sort of old-fashioned, it's more, you know, innovative and new, and I think all the Porges and the, you know, polyvagal and the brain science, you know, has really helped give validity to all of that.
Cool.
And I guess what I was thinking of, I was describing to a patient this week about, you know, who was a little hesitant about going back, you know, into the past, you know, wanting to say, I just want to work on where the power of the moment is in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to sort of describe that the work, the correction comes from the present moment where all the power is.
Right.
And that in and of itself then corrects the back, what's happened in the past. So the work really is present, and the healing is present, and, you know, but it's kind of resolving past stuff. And I just wanted to, you know, ask you what you kind of thought of that explanation.
So that sounds, that's all the healing's happening in the present moment and what's arising in the moment. And sometimes the attachment adaptations are showing up in the relational field between you and the client right there, you know, in the moment as it's happening. But sometimes we're also importing our present resources or any resources we've connected to in the past. We're importing resources, especially relational ones, to moments in time where we might have gotten stuck in a wound, and then helping that part of us move forward in time. So even that part that got wounded and kind of got stuck in the past is actually moving forward in time as we heal. So we're kind of integrating now and then, right? But all the work is actually happening in now. It's just that sometimes we're visiting then to bring it back to now, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. The other thing is as I'm sort of, you know, reading the character structure stuff, you know, as we're going through it, the contact existence and then, you know, nature and nurture and all that stuff, you know, it's sort of like, you know, I can sort of see the avoidant attachment pattern, you know, in not being able to ask for their needs or ask for their wants, you know, and I'm just curious, and maybe as I go through it a little bit more, I'll understand it better, but, you know, curious about the connection between the character structure and the, you know, attachment adaptations.
Right. I'm actually teaching that right now. It's a different course we have online, but I'm teaching that right now in the Therapy Mastermind. So you're on Therapy Mastermind. You're going to be hearing a lot about that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because the...
go ahead.
Yeah, the contact existence structure is very close to the many of the same issues as the avoidance structure, and ambivalent very much like the oral character or the nurture nourishment. And then after that, it breaks up. They go into different directions because the next three character structures are not so easily correlated with any of the attachment things because attachment happens so early. And those first two character structures happen early, so they cross relate. So we will be discussing that December, January. You'll get lots more information on Therapy Mastermind. But I'm so glad that you're doing all these great things. And you were saying nature and nurture. It's nature, nurture, and neurons now, they say, you know.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just really happy that I could be a part of this call. The other things come in the middle of my work day, and I'm not often able to, you know, catch the live presentation. And so I just was like, oh, good, I'm not working today. I can actually talk to you.
Coming up is at 11 o'clock, so that'll be 1 o'clock East Coast time. So maybe you can catch us on a lunch hour in this next course.
Yeah, trying. So busy.
Okay.
Time.
All right,
yeah,
my dear.
Anyway,
well,
guys,
I'm so happy you're doing all these things,
really,
and you might
it.
Be one of the first people that are certified. So that's very cool. We have three people in Germany that got certified. They're our very first certified folks, and now we're extending. You know, lots of people in the U.S. are getting closer to being certified. So that's so cool. You're doing all these different things, and it's great to hear from you today. Thanks so much for calling in.
You're welcome. Bye.
So I think we've answered quite a few questions. I don't know if there's any – I think we're good. We're going to wrap up for today. If there's anything we haven't mentioned that you need information on, you can contact us through help@dianepoolheller.com, help@dianepoolheller.com. And let's see. Our Attachment Mastery program's getting geared up to start very, very soon. So we're probably closing out on Tuesday. So we'd just love to have you join us if it fits for you. And we've got some great, great things happening and really, really excited about the program. And we've got a great group of therapists gathering, and we get a chance to just connect in our transformation tribe. So please feel free to ask us any questions, and also welcome aboard. Oh, by the way, just want to mention this because I forgot to mention it earlier. We do have a 30-day money-back guarantee. There's no questions. If you want to try it for a couple of weeks and then see if it fits for you, that's also totally fine. So just jump in. Let's connect. And I hope you have a great weekend. And thanks so much for making time. I know your time is really valuable. Thank you for joining us today. And this call will be posted if anybody else wants to hear it or you want to review it again until certainly through the weekend and maybe through Monday. Okay, thanks everybody. Have a great weekend, and hope to connect with you during the course if that fits for you. Take care. Bye-bye.